Most bankers aren't ready to help you until after their third cup of coffee. But with Central National Bank's after-hours service, you don't have to wait for the bank lobby to open to get help. You can contact us from 6 to 8:30 in the morning or from 5 to 10 in the evening, and we'll connect you to a real, live, local person who can answer questions and fix problems 7 days a week. Bank different. Bank Central. Central National Bank. Member FDIC.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is a Rogue Media Network podcast.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How is your social battery right now? Are you drained, bursting with energy? It's at this level because maybe you don't have enough boundaries, less social in the winter. There can be many reasons. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you just need some more time alone. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. Therapy is helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself, and it isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/365 today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/365.
This is 365 Sports, powered by Sikkim365.com.
Welcome back to our old friend Jason King. It's been a minute since we've had him on the show, but of all days to bring him back. Look, you know Scott well. You know college basketball as good as anybody. This is such a this is something, Jason, I always thought would happen eventually, and I wondered under the conditions that it would, that somebody like a Kentucky would come after Scott Drew. And while he did, you know, seriously consider it, ultimately he stayed here. Knowing him as long as you have and as well as you do, what do you think is the biggest deciding factor of not jumping into the big blue water?
Yeah, you know, it's hard to just pinpoint one reason, but I think at the end of the day, I think he realized that, A, that's not for me. I wouldn't like it. My family wouldn't like it. I don't want to deal with all that goes into being the Kentucky coach. Got a taste of that at the Mexican restaurant yesterday. And also, I just think too, sometimes, you know, and in various walks of life, you know, you flirt with another job or another opportunity somewhere, and you sit down and start thinking about it, and then you really start to appreciate what you have at your home, you know what I mean, in Waco, Texas. And I think, you know, with a $7 million contract or whatever it is, and the love of the fan base and the new arena and the legacy that he's going to leave there, and how that legacy may have changed a little bit if he were to leave. You know, I think that, you know, sometimes you step back and take a helicopter view of your job, and you're thinking, man, I've got a really good, you know, we can do the same things at Baylor that we can do at Kentucky. We already have, you know, they've already won a title, and they've got their program's in great shape. And I just think that, you know, all those things combined just made him realize why leave. And, you know, I mean, he could have gone there and been out of a job in 2 years. if things didn't go well. You know, he can stay at Baylor and for the rest of his life. And I hope that's what happens. But, you know, I certainly don't think anyone should fault him for listening. I think a lot of jobs these days, there's probably, you can count on one hand, the jobs he might entertain. And that understandably would be one of them. But, you know, and kudos for him to doing his research, sending his family up there, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, that Kentucky job isn't for everyone.
No.
It takes a certain type of person to handle that. That's, I'm not ripping on their program or anything. It is what it is, you know. But I don't know if Scott would have enjoyed that, to be honest. And there's certainly nothing wrong with that.
Have Kentucky fans overvalued their current worth?
I think so. And a lot of that, I think, has to do with just the landscape of college basketball now. You know, I mean, tons of coaches are making huge salaries. You know, there's a lot of passionate fan bases. You know, I mean, 15 years ago, you know, who would have thought that you could win a national title at Baylor? I mean, you know, look at some of the schools that have, you know, advanced to the Final Four in the last couple of years that you never would have guessed. I mean, I think the playing field is evened out a little bit. In terms of like where, you know, good recruits are going and things like that. You know, it's still one of the top programs in the country without question, but to just think it's an insult when the Baylor coach turns you down, like, how could that coach not come here? You know, I mean, yeah, I think they have. And I think, but again, I think it's not so much a knock on their program. It's just more of a credit to all the other programs across the country, stepping up, paying coaches, doing the right things to get recruits, you know, selling out arenas, things like that. I mean, there's a lot of attractive places out there now.
I've asked everybody we've had on the show this question today. So if you're Kentucky, who do you hire now?
Well, it's just, you know, of course, I'm not covering it anymore. And so you just read different, you know, obviously if they had the money and could get Dan Hurley, I know that people have said there's no way it's happening, but then there's other people saying that they're still going after him. That would be the one. I do think Billy Donovan would be great. He's turned it down as well. But after that, gosh, you know, you know, who are they going to get? You know, I've always been a Sean Miller guy. He's a little bit abrasive at times and things like that. But I think he's an excellent coach. He's proven he can recruit. He's got some baggage, obviously. But they've hired coaches with baggage before. I think that's a guy they should look at. You know, God, I mean, not everyone's a Buzz Williams guy. I think he could be a good third or fourth choice if it falls down to him. I really like the way he coaches, the style of basketball he plays. But at the same time, you know, sometimes I kind of think Buzz Williams is like Shaka Smart. I feel like he's going to flourish in certain schools where maybe you don't have to sign the McDonald's All-Americans every year. There's no pressure to do that. You sign a bunch of guys who just want to play hard, you know, play full court defense the whole time, havoc, all that kind of stuff. That's what he did when he was at Marquette. It worked really well. Same thing if you're in your Tech. You know, you send him to Kentucky, you know, you just wonder, is he going to be able to, you know, get, you know, one and done, two and done guys to be able to play like that. But he could be a candidate as well, though. So I don't know. What are you? I'm curious to hear your opinion on who you think would be a good fit there.
I think it should be Sean Miller. And I also think that they wouldn't be crazy to talk to Will Wade. Just to see that. Now, look, he probably needs another step before he gets to a Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the dude can flat out coach. And he and Sean Miller are in the same boat, right? Where everything that they lost their previous jobs for now doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter at all. It's not even close to a crime anymore.
Absolutely.
It's like one of those 1750 laws. If it's illegal to smoke tobacco next to a cow, well, like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, they're, it's gone.
Right. I've always thought Sean Miller was a top 10 kind of coach. You know, I know he didn't do as well this year at Xavier, but like when he was at Arizona and Pittsburgh and Xavier before, I mean, I just always love the way he coaches. I love his fire, his grit, his passion. I think his players play very, very hard. He's, you know, obviously he's been a good recruiter. I think sometimes with the media, he can be a little difficult. So I've never had great relations with him there, but I always just really respected him and thought he would be good. And obviously he took a hit when he got a little bit of trouble, but that's who I would look at, you know, with awkward. My thing is like, I guess Kelvin Sampson, was he just too old at 68?
God, yeah, I think so. Yeah.
You know, man, he's so good. I'm more and more impressed with him, you know, every time I watch them play. But I guess, yeah, I guess maybe they just want to get someone a little younger, so, because his name's never mentioned. So, but yeah, I tell you what, though, I mean, I think this whole thing has been a real dose of reality and a little bit of an ego jolt to those Kentucky fans. And, you know, you hit it on the head. It's not, I don't want to say it's not as prestigious as it was, but there's just so many other people or so many other schools that are up there now.
Well, I mean, part of it, and look, I think the COVID year changed a lot of this in that when you've got 24-year-old guys, and this is what Kentucky's run up against, your one-and-dones can be great, but you're the only school who's, you know, really doing that right now. So,
right.
So when they run up against those veteran guys, like, it's just different. And when everybody was trying to do what Kentucky was doing, they were going to be the best at it. But now they're not. Now it's a big melting pot of whatever's going to work for us the best we're going to do. And there's more than just those options of, let's just get these guys who are definitely going to be NBA players.
Right. The model doesn't work anymore. It served them pretty well for a while there. And they won a championship with it and almost won another one. But yeah, you know, there's nothing wrong with signing a couple of one-and-done players, but you've got to mix in those veterans, because, you know, those guys may be better NBA players, but when they're 18 years old, they don't have the toughness mentally, especially, and maybe not physically at that point in their life to compete with some of these seniors that are, you know, grizzled and have, you know, won in big time arenas and big time environments and won under pressure. I mean, there's a lot to be said for that. And maybe those seniors aren't the ones that are getting drafted first, but they're the ones that are equipped to win championships in college. And, you know, we saw it with Baylor when they won the title. I mean, was there not a lot of one and done on that team, you know, or if any. So like, my brain is fried right now. But yeah, I mean, it's just, I mean, like, just, you know, you sign Kendall Brown, and that's fine. Or Jeremy Sohan, fine, you know, but who are they mixed in with? I mean, that, you know, those guys, you know, brought out the best within the culture, you know, helped them and kind of maybe masked their inexperience a little bit, and they flourished. But to have a whole team basically that's full of those kind of players is just not going to work anymore. And Kentucky proved that.
Do you think he'll adapt at Arkansas?
I do. I think he'll be forced to change a little bit. He is a very good coach, and I really like John Calipari. I dealt with him as much as any coach I out there probably when I was covering the national beat. And you know, I think it was a good move for him. I think he's probably refreshed and rejuvenated. But yeah, I do think he'll have to change some things a little bit. But you know, they'll sell out that arena and go crazy. He'll get kids and they'll be competitive. He's getting up there in age too. You wonder, you know, how bright the fire still burns or how hot it is. But I mean, it must be, because he's incredibly, incredibly wealthy now. He doesn't have to keep doing this, and he does. So that says a lot about his competitive fire, and I hope he does do well. He's, you know, he takes a lot of hits from people, but I've seen him do some really nice things for people and be a good person. And I think deep down, he's a great person, and I'm glad he moved on, because, you know, it was time. I mean, he was definitely underachieving, and I'm sure he wasn't happy, and the fans weren't happy. It was just a toxic situation. I'm glad he got out of it.
Jay King, always great to talk to you, my friend. I haven't seen you, and it's been too long. It's been far too long.
I know. So I'll be back there soon, man. It's good to hear your voice, and missed everyone in Waco. I thought you guys did a great job covering stuff. Ashley Hodge, I talked to him about 11:30 last night, and he goes, man, and it was funny because earlier in the day, you know, he was kind of nervous, and then he apparently got some info in the wee hours or the late night hours. I went to bed with a smile on my face because he had me convinced he was staying, and he was right. So great job by all of you covering this, and shout out to Darby Brown too for being at the airport yesterday in Temple. You know, I always get kind of amused when, and I know you probably got to go, but I always get kind of amused when, you know, situations like this are out there, and there's just so many erroneous reports, and you know, you've got people like Greg Swain, whatever, just convincing the world that it's done, and they're setting up the press conference tables. I'm like, God, there's so much bad reporting out there. A, it just drives me crazy, but also kind of makes me laugh. It's just like, how could y'all be that bad? You know, and it's a credit to Sikkim and some of the national guys for not jumping the gun and making sure their sourcing was great and just being patient and waiting for the story to break. They're waiting to report things accurately. You guys are the ones that come across looking good, while a lot of people have egg on their face today. So nice job by everyone.
All right. Thanks, Jason. I'll see you soon, man. Call me when you're in town.
Take care, y'all. Right. Bye-bye.
Yeah, Jason King, old friend of ours.
This has been a Rogue Media Network production.